Welcome to Tension, the Film Noir of the Week podcast. I'm Steve Eifert. This week we get to a movie I just rewatched. I was afraid it was overrated the first time I wrote about it almost 10 years ago. It's a King Kong story disguised as a pulp crime film. I'm happy to say the film holds up. It's the best Charles McGraw film noir. But first, some news. Eddie Muller has released the titles screening at this year's Noir City, Noir from A to B, 1941 to 1953. As usual, the movies are paired as double features each day. The first night of Noir City in San Francisco, they have what I consider the first two real film noir, 1941's I Wake Up Screaming and Among the Living. The whole lineup is fantastic, but I especially like Saturday's features, Hitchcock's Shadow of a Doubt, and the little scene wartime Nazi drama Address Unknown. I saw Address Unknown for the first time last year, and it's stunning. Find out all the times and dates at noircity.com. The website, by the way, is a real feast for the eyes. And on my reading list is Alan K. Rohde's new book, Michael Curtiz, A Life in Film. Curtiz has an amazing career in some of my favorite films, Casablanca, Mildred Pierce, Young Man with a Horn, and The Forgotten Breaking Point with John Garfield were all helmed by him. Of course, I'm just highlighting the noir and close-to-noir films, which are just the tip of the iceberg. Looking forward to digging into this book. You can get Alan K. Rohde's book, Michael Curtiz, A Life in Film, on Amazon or at Alan's website, alankrohde.com. Now for this week's film. The bell chimes 3. It's 3 a.m. and the camera moves from a neon-lit sign from the Hotel Cincinnati down to a ferret-shaped man walking to his car. Gunshots ring out. The man is now a witness to a cold-blooded murder. Someone's been shot in the back. A killer walks from the shadows and forces the wide-eyed witness to drive away. All is not what it seems. The crime is a play put on to get the Weasley man to give up the hiding location for some bank robbery money. Once the con is done, the two investigators, playing the killer and victim, part ways. One to the police station to lock up their mark, and then to go to the airport, where his life will change forever. This week's Noir of the Week is Roadblock. It's from 1951, and the film screams RKO. After watching nearly every film noir from the classic period, I can identify film studios just by watching it for a few minutes. The music, the cast, the writing, and the visual style are all there. It's RKO. And a quick skim of the movie credits at IMDb confirmed it. The writing, cast, and crew all worked hard from the Val Lewton horror films through the classic film noir period at RKO. I consider Roadblock to be Charles McGraw's best film noir. RKO's B-movie alternative to Robert Mitchum was certainly in better crime thrillers. The Narrow Margin, for one, is considered a classic, and it is. But before becoming a leading man, McGraw appeared as a supporting actor in a slew of films like The Great T-Man and The Killers. I never doubted McGraw's acting ability. I always enjoyed everything he was in. Seeing Roadblock for the first time surprised me, however. Who knew he could play a lovesick sucker?
Your name, please?
Well, hello.
Hello. Your name, please?
Thought I'd lost you.
I didn't know you were trying to.
Tell me, what was with that 00 treatment you were giving me back in the waiting room?
What treatment?
The big smile in the ice.
Your name, please?
Joseph Peters.
Mrs. Joseph Peters.
Hey, what's with this Mrs. Peters? No, you can't get away with it. What's your name?
Diane Morley.
Real or phony?
What are you, a cop?
Yeah, sort of. I'm an insurance detective.
Maybe I picked on the wrong guy.
Yeah, maybe you did.
Fasten your seatbelts, please.
Now look, sister.
I'm not your sister. I'm your wife. Till we get to Los Angeles. Fasten your seatbelt.
Played me for a soft touch, why?
What soft touch? This isn't costing you a dime.
Keep talking.
You certainly ask a lot of questions.
It's part of my job. You must have an angle. What is it?
I simply wanted to get to the coast and didn't have enough money to get there, except by bus. I happen to be a girl who likes to travel first cabin, so I...
So you moved in on me.
Does that make me poison?
I don't like chiselers.
Look, mister, just because I was smart enough to promote a plane ticket half fare, I'm a chiseler.
In my league, you are.
McGraw's surprising performance is the reason this one stands out. The film starts by showing McGraw as he usually was in the dozens of thrillers he appeared in. He played hard-nosed, gravelly-voiced investigators who'd do anything to solve his cases. The clever opening teaser shows McGraw and his partner faking a shooting to scare a suspect into showing them where some stolen money is hidden. So far, not much different than the cops McGraw played in an armored car robbery or loophole. Everything changes when Joe Peters, McGraw, falls in love with a con woman, Joan Dixon, just moments later at the airport on his way back to Los Angeles. Seeing McGraw wave at Dixon like a kid with a crush, or even later when he breaks into her apartment to decorate her Christmas tree, is a wonderful change of pace for the tough guy actor. Joan Dixon no doubt broke into film acting because she looked a lot like Gene Tierney. If you want to talk about an actor without much range, check her out in the otherwise entertaining Bunko Squad or Experiment Alcatraz. In Roadblock, she too is better than expected. Dixon flirts with the love-starved insurance investigator and quickly has him eating out of her hands. Once she has him hooked, Diane tells McGraw that they would never work out because Peters doesn't have enough money. She quickly stops McGraw's attempts at seduction. A few weeks later, Peters finds out she's a plaything for a local Los Angeles mobster who rents out her apartment and buys her lots and lots of furs. Dixon is sexy and funny, and you can't blame McGraw for continuing his courtship of her despite her ties with organized crime. Unfortunately, one of the few flaws in Roadblock is that Dixon doesn't get to be a true femme fatale. Right when Peters decides to risk it all and get rich quick and win the love of Diane, she turns and decides to love Peters no matter how much cash he has. It's nice that she does this, but she's a heck of a lot sexier when she was a money-hungry con artist earlier in the film. The plot is simple. When Peters falls for Diane, he concocts a scheme to rob a train loaded with cash. Instead of doing the robbery himself, he sells the idea to Diane's mob boyfriend. The agreement is Peters would get a great percentage of the take. The mobster agrees. Diane and Peters go off on their honeymoon, which doubles nicely as an alibi. Diane wants Peters to call off the risky crime, but it's too late. The mob won't cancel the job. After a few stressful days in the woods, the couple hears via radio a report that the train robbery goes off nicely. Peters is mailed his share of the loot, and Diane is disappointed in him for planning the crime. Diane at this point keeps telling Peters that she's changed, but I suspect that Peters knows the truth. Eventually, Diane will probably want the finer things in life and eventually leave the working-class Peters. Now the sticky part comes up. After the honeymoon, the wild Peters goes back to Los Angeles and is assigned to investigate the robbery. Peters tries as hard as he can to lead the investigation away from his mob partners, but eventually his best friend, equally square-jawed Louis Jean Haight, easily figures out Peters is the inside man. Haight tries to convince Peters to turn himself in, but instead he gets a beer bottle in the head. The film climaxes when Peter and Diane try to escape LA with their bundles of cash. Peters is shot dead on the concrete bed of a near-dry Los Angeles River, an iconic location in noir, and it reminded me more than a little of the climax of King Kong. Roadblock is a well-paced, if low-budget, true film noir. The fatalistic story has a few nice touches in addition to the two lead performances, including a slick opening credits sequence. Thanks for listening. Remember to follow us on noirtheweek.com, our podcast Tension the Film Noir, and our Instagram, Film Noir Quote of the Day. Also check us out on Facebook. I'm Steve Eifert.